My name's Sean Collier. Greetings from the salubrious confines of the Honda Civic. All the years of this podcast, same car. Yep, that's the way it is. This week, look, we got two big ones coming up. Listen, next Friday, we're gonna be doing Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Week after that, we're gonna be doing War of or For, I forget, the Planet of the Apes. This week, I will be your guide as we journey through two films, Despicable Me 3, and later, The House, starring Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler. Yeah, it's one of those weeks, okay? There's not a big one. I'm going to split this up. We're going to do a quick two-parter this week on You Can't Handle the Truth. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, June the 30th, 2017. My name's Sean Collier. Aaron Kleiber is, doing his thing. And especially with this pair of, it wasn't imperative that we have a full complement of voices on this week. What is essentially, did you want, 45 minutes, we sit down, we bring a guest in about Despicable Me 3? There was only so much we could do. And Baby Driver, I guess it comes out nationwide tomorrow. There was a screening, I missed it, I couldn't be there, I'm sorry. The point is, here's a couple movies I want to talk to you about this week. After the break, much later on, you will hear about The House. It could be good, who knows, we'll find out. But here in the front half, let me talk to you about Despicable Me 3. This is a situation. This franchise represents the lifeblood of a nascent animation studio called Illumination Entertainment. Disney and Pixar are the big guys. DreamWorks, is kind of behind them. There's certainly plenty of animations, of Hollywood studios that do one-offs. And of course, Laika, L-A-I-K-A, they're the leaders in stop motion right now. They did Kubo and the Two Strings and the Box Trolls. Illumination is like the distinct fourth place among big animation houses. Behind, of course, Disney and Pixar and DreamWorks. Illumination, they've had 8 or 9 movies, about half of which have been Despicable Me movies. The original, the second, now the third, and of course the spin-off, Minions. Their other stuff includes Sing, Secret Life of Pets, I kind of liked that one. The Lorax, they did. In any case, I remember reviewing the first Despicable Me, and, it was kind of endearing. It had this interesting plot about, this villain forced to, be nice every now and then. Is that entirely original territory? No. But, I thought the character of the kids, they were very well developed. Steve Carell was funny enough. There were these little yellow guys, It was a movie. It wasn't a bad movie. It was fun. And then, boy howdy, did they just run this shit into the ground and fast. The sequel happened. It's like a lot of animated sequels. Like, okay, here's some more. of that. They added Kristen Wiig, so great. You know, I'm never sure. Then the Minion spinoff was bad. Was just not good. And this is the worst. This is worse than the Minion spinoff. Despicable Me 3 is. They've been going steadily downhill. Here's what I, you know, I was really, you know, Aaron is the one to talk to you about what should and should not be in kids' movies. That's not, you know, that's never going to be my beat. But that said, this is the Illumination flicks and the Despicable Me series in general wants to try to be a little edgy, a little inappropriate, but not through, like, creativity and you know, pushing the envelope in any way, just through, like, butts. There's lots of butts. And not only that, like, moments that are, like, weirdly raunchy and, not even inappropriate jokes, just like mean jokes. I'll tell you what, I turned on this movie in the opening moments, really. There's an introduction, we meet our villain who's this, like, 80s character. He's a former he's an 80s child star who has gone mad when Hollywood left him behind, played by Trey Parker. You know what you're getting with Trey Parker. He does fine. We get that introduction, and then Gru and What's-Her-Name, played by Kristen Wiig, and a couple of the minions show up to foil the villain, whose name is Brat. And they show up in these submarines, and the first thing that happens is that the minion's submarine runs over a fish that looks like Nemo. There's two clownfish, you know, from Finding Nemo. There's two clownfish that look like Nemo and what's his name? Marlin, whatever his name is. Nemo's dad. And they're swimming there, and the minions, you know, murder an avatar of a popular, beloved Disney character. And the Nemo avatar looks devastated, and then the minions laugh about it. And boy, what a sad, unfunny attempt to take on your competitor. I mean, that's like you know. I struggle to come up with an example of a shot at a competitor that is that mean-spirited. I'm not saying, like, oh, how dare you make a joke about. I'm saying that's just dumb and cheap. That's like internet meme level humor. Haha, they killed Nemo. Like, what is wrong with them? And by the way, look, we could talk about the problems with Disney's, you know, domination of the entertainment industry all day, but hey, their movies have been pretty good, and Illumination, your arms are too short to box with God. You're not going to, you know, you're not competing with Disney. Nobody's competing with Disney. That battle is lost. Oh, we took a shot at Disney. Yeah, you're cool. I don't know why that pissed me off so much, but it was just like, come on. Grow up. And that's really what I have to say about Despicable Me 3, where the first one in this series was smart. Now they're just leaning into dumb and juvenile and immature in a time when, you know, Pixar established, I've said this before, Pixar established how smart and thoughtful children's entertainment could be. They got Disney to follow suit. And DreamWorks, who you know, haven't really figured out yet, have still dabbled with, you know, trying to be a little bit meatier with the How to Train Your Dragon movies and with the Croods. Illumination, what, you're going to be the dumb guys on the block? Yeah, good luck. You know, they're always going to make a lot of money. The Minions are very popular with your dumb cousin or whatever. They're going to make money globally. They're going to be profitable. You know, and after they took their shot at Disney, later on, they crossed over with Sing. The Illumination movie that no grown-up saw from December. You know how they did that movie Sing, where they had this little crossover scene where the Minions went and you know, there was a went into the Sing universe or whatever, or some shit. Like, oh, what are you saying, Illumination? Oh, fuck Pixar, but, you know, Sing was pretty good. Shut up. It's, man, has this worn out. It's welcome, you know? It's... You know, they got Steve Carell playing two parts in this one, and whatever, man. Whatever. So, I know that some people like the first one and have fond feelings. That Pharrell song, Happy, is from Despicable Me. I know, because they sent me a 45 of it. Thank you. I do still appreciate that. And a Minion head flash drive. Yeah, sure. Okay, thank you. Yeah, look, if I'll say this honestly, and I wouldn't have expected to say this. You know, if you're a grown-up that likes getting your animation fix in the theater every now and then, dude, you're better off with Cars 3. Cars 3 was not great. I didn't like it. I don't want to say I didn't like it. It was not great. It took the series in a weirdly dramatic direction. But, you know, it looks better than this. It's more visually interesting, you know. And they're trying to do something with the plot. Is Cars 3 still, you know, right at the bottom of the depth chart as far as Pixar movies? Absolutely. Does that put it way, way more worth your time than Despicable Me 3? Sure. No question about it. So if you need a cartoon, go see Cars. Don't be giving these guys any money, because I don't know what's going on over there, but it's not pleasant. I hope they right the ship. You know, I do love animated films. Two of my, you know, both Zootopia and Moana were not quite in my top 10, but in my top 20 last year. You know, I am absolutely one of those grown-ups who likes to see animated movies, but nah, man. Who made The Boss Baby? Oh, that was DreamWorks, yeah. Boy, we forgot about that one quick. And as well we should. After a break here, I'll have a little bit more to say. Hopefully there's more to talk about with the house beyond just like, nope! But, before I do, remind you once again to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes if you don't mind. You know, I know that a lot of, I'll be very honest with you, I do not listen to my podcast on iTunes. But because I have an iPhone, I still have the iTunes app. If that's you, you know, if maybe you don't use it all the time, but you still have iTunes on your computer, on your phone, just pop on, leave us a rating and review. That really, really helps. The key is getting more people to listen to this podcast. The more people listen, the more, you know, the longer we're going to do this. Does that sound ominous? We're not going anywhere. I'm just saying. Please, rate and review. Throw a share on Facebook. You know, we always get comments. We appreciate the comments and everything. What can really help is if you just take 10 seconds to share it on your feed, on Facebook, on Twitter, whatever you got. Snap it? I don't know. Find a way to snap it. And that's a big help. And also subscribe. That's the big thing. Whatever podcast app you do use, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever it may be, hit subscribe. That helps us out a lot. I'm not going to be anywhere this weekend. I had a whole lot of comedy in June. Right now, not going to do that for this upcoming weekend. So I got nothing to plug. I'll tell you to go read Pittsburgh Magazine. I got some stuff in there. And you know what? By the time you hear this, look on my Twitter feed, at Sean Collier PGH, or Amy Whipple's Twitter feed, frequent guest Amy Whipple. She is at It's Amy Whipple, W-H-I-P-P-L-E. She did an absolutely fantastic piece for Pittsburgh Magazine about the process of adopting her son. I really recommend that highly. I think it might be out by the time you're hearing this. If not, it'll be out soon. So we're going to take a brief break. It might just be a little sound cue. I think it will be. And then we'll talk about The House. A big Will Ferrell comedy. You know, there's been some good ones of those. Is this going to be another one? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be good? Find out after this. Yeah. No, The House wasn't good either. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. This is a week of me alone talking about movies that were not very good. What an episode that is. Right. And between my choices and the demands of what I have to do for my normal critical duties and also what was and was not screened in Pittsburgh, it's looking like I really picked wrong with these two. I'll tell you, that's the general things. I generally am supposed to get to two movies a week. That's what I need to do to kind of, meet all of the requirements between my appearances on WDVE and things I'm doing with Pittsburgh Magazine. Got to get to two a week. When it can be more, that's nice. And sometimes, it's only one because something is big. Next week, Spider-Man will probably be the only thing that I really reckon with. But I try to get to two a week. And there was the weird release schedule for Baby Driver, which I have heard is great. I've heard great things about Baby Driver, and I'm hoping to see that soon. And furthermore, Sofia Coppola's new movie, The Beguiled, with Nicole Kidman, is out as well, and I haven't seen that either. I don't think that is getting quite the reaction that Baby Driver is, but yeah, it would have been an interesting episode if I came here to you and talked to you about Baby Driver and The Beguiled, but instead I'm talking to you about Despicable 3 and The House. Coming to you now in the second half of this episode from the home office, high atop Mount Washington, looking down on the city of Pittsburgh. As you are accustomed to hearing, ordinarily I talk to you from the car on the way home from a movie, but when I left the film, I forgot. Sorry. So here I am at home. The House is from the team that is responsible for the two Neighbors films, as well as Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. And now, that team is the team of Andrew J. Cohen and Brendan O'Brien. They are the writers, the co-writers of those four films. And Cohen also directed The House. That's his first time directing. So they've done four movies, and 50%. I would not dismiss their capabilities. I liked Neighbors a whole lot, and I thought that Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates was very underrated. Neighbors 2, not good. And The House, not good. He, was cutting his teeth as a director here, and he didn't have much to add. It's one of those very presentational comedies. But more to the point, like Neighbors 2 was, this is simply a script that kind of forgot the jokes. You are not going to get much more comedic talent in the cast than this. Of course, Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler. It's presented as a Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler two-hander. It's really a trio movie with the two, Ferrell, Poehler, and Jason Mantzoukas. Again, one of the most underrated comedic actors around. Nick Kroll has a big part. Cedric Yarbrough, who is frequently quite funny, has a big part. Rob Hubel has a big part. So, very funny cast. But, and they wring out a couple of scenes that work. You know, I laughed a handful of times in there. But it's just badly, badly underwritten. It's making me fear, and fear is the word, it's making me fear that Will Ferrell is slowly becoming a comedic actor like, sorry to say, Adam Sandler, who had a lot of hits a while ago, and now doesn't really care if the project is funny or not, as long as he, you know, gets a big old check, and as long as, you know, he gets to hang around with some funny people. I think that's what's going on here. Look at the Will Ferrell filmography. And especially people about my age, people who, you know, the early millennials, let's say, people born in the 80s, have such a high opinion of Ferrell due to a big string of comedy hits, Old School, Elf, Anchorman, a memorable part in Wedding Crashers. I got a lot to say about that movie, but we'll let that go for now. Talladega Nights, Step Brothers. Some people would throw Semi-Pro in there. Some people would throw Blades of Glory in there. This big, big streak. But that streak lasted for 5 years and is a decade or more ago. Old School and Elf were in 2003. The most recent of those films was in 2008. And since then, yeah, Will Ferrell has done a couple of more serious films. Really just Everything Must Go. And then he's done some that were not very good, like Get Hard and Daddy's Home and Anchorman 2 wasn't really good. You know, The Other Guys was okay. I liked The Campaign with Zach Galifianakis. That I liked. But it's like Adam Sandler, man, where in the 90s he had the big streak with Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and The Waterboy. And then 10 years later, in the early 2000s, you get a bunch that are like, yeah, okay. And I hope that doesn't happen for Will Ferrell. But this is not, this one doesn't help. Just not a whole lot of laughs. And you know, I really hoped that was a good pairing. Former SNL castmates, Poehler and Ferrell, and you know, I love her. I'm always rooting for her. But her filmography is spotty, and that disappoints me because, man, did I love Sisters in 2015. That was great. And, of course, she's a voice in Inside Out and did excellently there. But, you know, there aren't a ton of really tremendous film performances from Amy Poehler besides Sisters. A number of bad ones, unfortunately. And, you know, I think if you go to the theater and you see a movie poster that says Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler, you think, my God, two really serious comedy heavyweights. But if you look at the track record of these two on film, it's not overall. I'm not talking about they don't have any hit. I'm talking about the total batting average, you know, is just not all that great. And that's very disappointing. Should you bother with it at all? I don't know. I mean, I wasn't bored, partially because it's very short. It's 88 minutes, and that's including credits and a blooper reel after the film ends. By the way, be a little suspicious of the blooper reel, okay? The blooper reel is a tactic. I'm not saying that there aren't good movies that have a blooper reel at the end. There definitely are. But you know why there's a blooper reel in a lot of movies? So that the audience is guaranteed a laugh on the way out the door and doesn't leave thinking, eh, you know what? That wasn't that great. That's why it happens a lot of the time. So, I don't know, making a broad point about comedy now. Rough couple of movies, Despicable Me 3 and The House. But, you know what? We got two of the big, highly anticipated summer blockbusters coming up for you in the next 2 weeks. Of course, next Friday we will be talking about Spider-Man Homecoming. And the following week we will be talking about War of the Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, the War for the War of the Planet of the Planet of the War for the Apes. That's coming up. I am looking forward to catching up with Baby Driver. I'm looking forward to seeing The Beguiled. I like Sofia Coppola a lot. I know that not everybody does. As you know, Lost in Translation is one of my favorite films. I did think that Marie Antoinette was very good. The Bling Ring was quite good. I don't know if I've seen The Virgin Suicides. I don't know if I've seen that. Anyway, so there's stuff coming up, but this week, I don't know. What haven't you seen recently? Haven't you seen Wonder Woman yet? Go see Wonder Woman this weekend. Or, you know, pick one of those early year gems that maybe you missed in the theater and you want to catch on your on-demand on your Blu-ray purchases. It's interesting, I'm sitting here in the home office and I'm sitting next to my Blu-ray collection. You'd be surprised, my Blu-ray collection is very small because I watch movies in the theater. I don't watch a lot at home. Here, I'll tell you everything that's in it. I just bought the Blu-ray of It Follows. Excellent movie. Wanted to be sure that I showed that one to Mary Beth, so I bought the Blu-ray of that. That's the same reason I bought the Blu-ray of Cabin in the Woods. Love Cabin in the Woods. We sat down and watched that one night. Had to get a Blu-ray of National Lampoon's Vacation, one of my favorite movies ever. Always happy to throw that on. I've got the Blu-ray of Pulp Fiction here. Well, you need Pulp Fiction in the house. I've got a triple feature. You know what? Aaron's always busting me for having not seen The Goonies. Well, one day I saw a good price on the Blu-ray triple feature for Goonies, Gremlins, and Gremlins 2, the new batch, and I picked that up. Have I watched any of them? No. But one of these days, Gremlins I did end up seeing in the theater last Christmas. It's a Christmas movie. I have the Blu-ray of Dune here. I'm yet to watch that. I'm going to get through it. I put it on and made it about an hour and a half, and then I had something else to do. That was 3 years ago. I have the Blu-ray of Love Actually. Now, there's a good movie, and I will fight anyone who says it's not. I have the Blu-ray of Looper, because I picked it up the day I bought the Blu-ray player. I thought that would be a good one for Blu-ray, and it was. What else do I got? I have a Deadpool is here. They sent that over during the awards campaign, and I was happy to receive it. Same with The Conjuring. That one came over during the awards campaign. A lot of these came over. I have Mary Poppins on Blu-ray. Why? Because that's what they sent when they were trying to get awards votes for that Saving Mr. Banks. They were like, hey, remember Mary Poppins? Pop that in. Zootopia from last year. They sent that on Blu-ray. I enjoy that film. Oh, I got a Kubrick triple feature Blu-ray here. The Shining, Clockwork Orange, and 2001. That's right.
And the Blu-ray of Young Frankenstein is here. God, hey, and that's a loaded disc. I don't know why I'm just telling you the Blu-rays I own, but there they are. Physical media will go away soon. Enjoy its dying moments. So, can't recommend Despicable Me 3. I would give that a Despicable Me 3 out of 10. Nor can I recommend The House. That, I might go to 4, but that's a generous 4 out of 10. That'll do it for this week. We will be back next week with Spider-Man Homecoming again. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're wherever you get your podcasts, whichever virtual clearinghouse of episodic audio entertainment from which you, this sentence is breaking down. Wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe. That is huge. Subscribe, rate, review, and go ahead on your favorite social media network and share this episode or any episode you like. For Aaron Kleiber, I am Sean Collier. And always remember, kill your heroes, man. I know how much you love Will Ferrell. What has he done for you lately? What has he done for you lately? Get hard, that's what. Yeah. Good night, everybody.